the thought on my heart tonight is our mission in this world.
Yes.
You know, the Lord has done something for us in this meeting, I believe. Through his word, through the songs, through the testimonies. And I was thinking what are we going to do with all of this that we received?
That's right.
You know, the Lord wants to equip us for service.
That's right.
And he said, I will, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Yes.
And then he expects, once we get saved and sanctified, he expects us to go out and spread the gospel.
That's right.
And some people are able to go, like, to foreign lands to spread the gospel, but some are not. For some people, the feel that we have can be right in our home.
That's right. Amen.
The field, our mission field, could be in our neighborhood. It could be among our coworkers on our jobs. It could be in the grocery store. And not only so, he wants us to be a help to one another.
That's right.
So we have a job to do. I don't believe the Lord wants us to sit down and just take it easy. Just get in our rocking chair and enjoy life. But I believe he wants us to take all these good things that he's given us and roll up our sleeves, so to speak, and get busy in his service. And his service is going to be on different, can be on different levels and different things. It's not necessarily just one thing, but we want to spend our time for him.
That's right.
The time is short, people. We don't know when the Lord may come, or even when our opportunities may be gone. We may be here and not able to do anything, but we need to get busy in his service. We need to use our energy for the Lord. Let's go to Matthew 28 and 20. And again, I would appreciate somebody to read for me.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
He is, I think I should have probably moved up some.
I think so.
So let's go a little before that. Okay.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Thank the Lord. So you see, he wants us to use what he gives us and go out into the world and teach others about the Lord.
Yes.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
Yes.
And he promised to be with us, and lo, I'm with you always, even into the end of the world. So you see, we are commissioned by the Lord Jesus to go into the world and carry the gospel. How can we do this? It may, like I said, it can be, for now, it may just be in our family. Or we might have family gatherings. However, the Lord, every opportunity that he gives us to spread the gospel, let us spread it. Let us tell others about Jesus. Let us tell of his saving grace, of his deliverance, of what he can do for your lives and their lives and our lives. What, even if we don't know how, we can tell what he's done for us. We can tell. We can testify how that he delivered us, how that he saved us, how he, what he's done. I find myself talking a lot about what the Lord's done for me. And I hope no one thinks I'm trying to brag or trying to call attention. I am trying to call attention, but not to me, but to the Lord. I want others to see what God can do. Yeah. How good he is. How merciful he is. I consider this fall I had and how the Lord blessed my arm a miracle. I consider it. And I, since I've been here, even since I've been in this meeting, the Lord has blessed my arm a whole lot.
Thank the Lord.
When I was singing, I start singing holding my left hand up. But now I can hold my right hand up.
Thank the Lord.
You see, we can tell what the Lord has done for us.
Yes.
You know, somebody, people want you to be quiet, brother. It's going to be hard for me to be quiet. And I'm not trying to draw any attention to myself. But my Lord Jesus is too good for me to sit down and close my mouth and act like he hadn't done anything. And he can't do anything. So thank the Lord. Let's take our responsibility serious. You know, we have a responsibility. You know, sometimes people have responsibility and they won't do anything. They're lazy. They're lazy. But we don't want to be lazy. We want to be diligent and take good advantage of our time. Some people go to work and they do a half job. Or if the boss say you have to be here at 8 and you have to leave, and you can leave at 4, that's what they do. They stay from 8 to 4. But then there are others that stay, come early and leave late because they're so involved in what they're doing.
Lord, have mercy.
We want to have a lot of energy for the Lord. You know, sometimes I say I'm hyper. Talk about myself. I'm weak. I'm not strong physically. But inside, my spirit is hyper, so to speak. I want to do all I can for the Lord. Sometimes I go to bed, sleep later than the girls, and wake up earlier than them, or wake up in the night. And they say, Grandma, everybody can't do that. But maybe not. But everything we can do for God, let's do it. Why do we do this? He's been so good to us. And if we love him, we want to put our energy in doing for him.
Yes.
That scripture says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength.
Yes.
If we love him like that, we're not going to sit down and be lazy. We're going to do everything we can for him. That's why what we do for God needs to be motivated by love for him.
Yes.
Not for somebody to look on us. We're just a piece of dust. That's all I am. If you want to know who Doris Clay is, a piece of dust, that's what I am. But I love God with all my heart. And I want to do what I can in his service. And I want to encourage others to do that too. You know, each one of us touched somebody's life.
That's right.
I don't know who all you touch, but we touch somebody's life. Sometimes it may be just our friend. You know, we can speak a word about the Lord to our friend.
That's right.
Or it may be our extended family. Or some people have a wide variety of people they can touch. Let's speak a word for the Lord to them. You know why we need to do this? Because God puts these people in our care. Did you know that? That little child that you see in your neighborhood that likes to hang around your house, God put that child in your care.
Right.
Speak something for the Lord to that child. Give them some love. Help them to feel love. Help them to feel like, you know, safe when they come to your house. Share you gonna feed your children? Feed them too. It's so many. The list goes on and on of all the things we can do for the Lord to win souls, to be a help to them. And maybe someday they'll remember those things. Maybe they might be in a dire situation. And it comes back to them, that person that was kind to them and loved them and did little things for them. Going to them, I'm going to go to them. I'm going to tell them about my problems. God may open a door that we can help a soul and keep them out of danger. And I was thinking, there's a scripture in the Bible says something about pulling them out of the fire. God gives us these responsibilities. Let's do all we can to pull souls out of the fire. They're dying. They're being destroyed.
Yes.
Lord help. Let's go to Ezekiel 33 and read verses 1 through 9.
All right, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him up for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head.
Yes.
He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. Mm-hmm. His blood shall be upon him.
Right.
And he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul.
Okay, stop just a minute. Now, I want you to understand, as we read this, it's going to talk about the watchman. But I feel like many of us are responsible for other souls whose lives we touch. The Lord may tell you to say something. For instance, if they're going the wrong way, making the wrong choices, and the Lord speaks to me and say, you know, you need to help that person. You need to say something. Sometimes we just kind of laugh it off with them, or we just don't say anything. We don't want to hurt their feelings and all that. That's understandable, but we still have a responsibility to other people's soul.
Yes.
Before you go any farther. I was thinking about Sister Belinda. This is what I've heard about the situation. That there was a time, there was an old sister,
Jordan.
Yeah, Lizzie Jordan. She would go and pass out tracts. I guess some of us maybe take the afternoon rest or whatever, but Sister Jordan would go out and start passing out tracts, and she happened to pass out a tract to this Sister Belinda.
That's right.
And that sister got saved. She was not, I don't know if she ever knew anything about the saints before then. But she got saved. She lived a beautiful, saved life. And she died saved. Now, had Sister Jordan decided, for instance, you know, I'm just going to rest. The Lord put on her heart to go out. And she was not young. She was old. And passed out tracts. And had she just sat in the house and said, you know what? I don't feel like going anywhere. I'm tired. Oh, that soul may never have been saved.
That's true.
That's one soul I know about. But there are many others that we may not know. No. There's a sister in Florida, Sister Emily. She likes to go to the grocery store. And she'll stand in front of that and pass out little pamphlets and tell them Jesus loves you or something like that. And I was thinking, you know, sometimes some of those people don't accept those tracts. They might put them down. But someone else may come along, pick it up, and the Lord deal with them.
Right.
We don't know the extent of how we can do things for God and it be a help to some soul.
Amen.
But if we neglect when the Lord tells us to do things, we're going to be responsible for some souls. So we don't want this to happen. In this scripture, it says if they get the warning, then they don't take heed, their blood is on their hand. But if they receive the warning, then they have redeemed, their soul has been saved.
That's right.
Now let's see what the responsibility of the watchman is. The watchman would be the preacher or the pastor or the one watching over the souls of the ones God put in his care. So read on.
6, but if the watchmen see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
So you see, it's a serious thing. It's a serious responsibility God has given us. And I can't tell you who the Lord holds you responsible for, but God knows, and each one of us, as he wants us to get prepared, like we were told today about getting sanctified. But once we are prepared, we have a responsibility to other souls that are around us. Now let's look at what are we doing? What are we doing? Sometimes the Lord gives gifts. Sometimes he gives responsibility in various ways.
That's right.
What are we doing with what he has given us? Let's go to Matthew 25 and read verses 14. Start at 14.
For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2 he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents.
All the way to 30.
All right. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. Mm-hmm. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
I want us to look at this. He gave 5 talents.
Yeah.
And he went, used those 5 talents and gained 5 more. He gave 1 2 talents and he used that and gained 2 more. But the one that had 1 talent had a bad attitude. He didn't even try. He just went and dug it and put it. Sometimes we cannot. We can be so busy with a bad attitude that we're not doing what we could do for God. And we don't want to do that. We want to take whatever the Lord gives us. If, you know, I may not be able to sing, which I can't sing anymore, worth anything. But I can do something else.
That's right.
I have tremors, and to write is not... But then the Lord gives me another way. Take what you have. Do what you can in God's service. You might not could be a good talker, but can you do something else? You think of what you can do for God. And God will put things in our heart and in our minds we can do for him. There will be no excuse. We can't say, he only gave me 1, so that must mean I can't do much, so I guess I'll just dig in the dirt and put it there. No. If he gives you 1, do good with the 1 you have.
That's right.
If he gives you 2, do good with the 2 you have. Oh, this is very heavy on me, and I hope that each of us can be inspired after this meeting. Take the things that we learn and let us gain more from it. Don't just go and dig in the dirt, in the ground and bury it, but let us be about our Father's business. So we want to be encouraged to go and do all we can for the Lord. And let's not allow the enemy to make us feel like I can't do this or I can't do that, or you know, I can't sing as good as the other person, or I can't pray. Brother Schaefer was talking about praying. I can't pray as good as other people. So no, don't ask me to pray. You know, I'll pray at home. But you know, do what you can.
Yes.
If you can't do one thing, the Lord has provided something for you to do. And you do it with all your might.
Yep.
Let's go to 12 and 15. So let's do what we can with a joyful one scripture in Psalms 100, I think. In that scripture it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Whatever we do in his service, let's do it with gladness.
That's right.
He's not going to expect, he's not going to appreciate what we do if we do it half-heartedly.
That's right.
We have to have our whole heart in this thing. You know, when you go to, I'm not one to be involved in sports, but you know, some of those sports people put their whole heart into it. And they are willing to get up and exercise and practice. And maybe if they tell you to eat certain things, they do all of this for that.
Yes.
Let's do all we can with God. Let's exercise. Let's read the word of God. Let's get into it.
Yes.
Let's sing the songs of Zion. We don't have to wait till we get to church to sing. While you're at home, get the song book out. Learn, try to sing some songs. Try to get better at it. Let's put our whole energy into this. 1 Corinthians 12:15.
Yes. I think I want to read Psalms 100.
Okay.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness.
Yes.
Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
I wanted to, I had it down actually, Psalms 100, but I just quoted part of it.
For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? It is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him.
Yes.
And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are the many members, yet but one body.
Go on. To.
And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together,
yes,
having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks. that there shall be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another.
See how this works together? You know, if you're a foot, don't be looking down because you're a foot.
Right.
We need it. It's needed. Let's be the best foot we can be.
Right.
If you're a hand, be the best hand you can be.
Yes.
If you're a little toe, be the best little toe. The Lord wants us to use what he has given us and be the best at it. We will be helpful one to another.
Yes.
I'll tell you something. I never really realized until I got torn rotator cuffs how important that muscle is.
Yes.
It's amazing how many movements you need with that muscle.
That's right.
But it's torn. So when you try to move it, you either can't move it or you hurt. The same with the body. Every part is necessary.
Yes, amen.
Whatever we can do, God needs us. The others need us. The other saints need us. The world around needs us. So let's be what God has given us. And let's honor it. Let's appreciate it. And let's serve the Lord like the scriptures say, with gladness. Now let's move on. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatever we do, we want to do it with our might. With all our might. Yeah. 9 verse 10.
Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy mind, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom, in the grave whither thou goest.
So the time we have, let's take advantage of the time God has given us while we have time. And do everything that we do for God, let's do it with all our heart and with all our might. Colossians 3, 22 and 24-24.
Servants, obey in all things your master. Is that what you want?
Yes.
According to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ.
Do you know that when we serve others, we're also serving God?
Yes.
And we want to serve others like we're serving God.
That's right.
If we, for instance, if I want to, I say, I'm going to give you a plate of food. I don't want to just go in and look in my refrigerator and get all the food that I don't want and give it to you.
Mm.
I wouldn't do the Lord that way, would I?
That's right.
So let's serve others like we were serving God. Even if we work for people, we need to have that work ethics.
That's right.
To where we're not just sitting around just wasting time and they say do this and I'm not going to do it like that. I'm going to do it the other way. All these kind of things. How would you serve God? Serve your master. Serve the person that you work for just like you were serving God. Yeah. Not with eye service, that scripture says, men pleasers. Not just doing it because they're looking at you, but because I have a conscience toward God and God is looking at me. So this is, we want to serve others that way. You know, when we do that, it may not seem like I've said anything about the gospel, but do you know that when people see the way we carry ourselves and how we handle them and everything, it's speaking truth to them. It's showing them what it means to be saved. When you're saved, you're diligent. You just don't do things halfway. You do your best. So now I want us to look at an example of how one person in the Bible was doing things and how it affected other people. Let's go to Acts 9, verse 36 to 41.
Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. But when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made, while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down, and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and lifted her up. When he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive.
Okay. That's good. And you see what happened? This woman was full of good deeds.
That's right.
So much so that when she died, they were grieved and they were showing all the good things that she had done. And then the Lord blessed, and Peter was there and he was able to raise her up from the dead.
That's right.
But I was just thinking how these good deeds, the effect they had on all these people that were sitting around weeping. Do you know when we do good deeds and things for others, it's going to have effect on them. And God can deal with their hearts. We have a responsibility to the world around us. So let's be encouraged. I don't want to take too much time. It's late. But let's be encouraged to do all we can in God's service. Use every opportunity we have to share the gospel with others, to do good deeds to other people, to help them see the way to Christ. Do you know when we do these things, it is a light to them, and they'll be able to see what it really means to live a saved life, a Christian life. Pray for me.